Amen. Good morning, church. It's great to be together. Good to see all of you. And wonderful fellowship. It's wonderful to hear the way you're fellowshipping with each other. And thank you for those that led the worship this morning. It was beautiful. Tundex, is that you? Or have you got a new one? Oh, hello, Tundex. And welcome. Amen. Great. It's good to see everyone here and welcome back from those that have not been at church in the last 2 weeks. Welcome back. And if anyone's here for the first time, welcome. We are a group that is trying to love Jesus, a group that falls short, but we praise God for His grace and His truth. And that's what we are, and we're just trying to be followers of Christ. Amen. Last week, we started a new series called Teens. Can you remember? Teens, says Tundi, you're not a teen. You may look like one. Teens, what are we studying out here? You guys have been in too many classes this week. Hey, amen. Well, here we go. Theology 101 class. Come and see. Amen. And I think the next slide is just a slide of where we're going over the next few months. So if you're here for the first time, if you enjoy church, this is going to help mature us. I really do believe that. I think there's a need for every one of us to mature in Christ and to grow in Christ and to be formed more and more into Christ and to be obedient to His word and to want to follow His word. And we're going to be going through all of these over the next few months. And we're just going to let God's Spirit lead us. So we're starting off with come and see. And we're going to end up with come and die. Okay, so that's quite exciting. So we're going to come and see. And then we're just giving up our lives. And hopefully by then Jesus has come back. You know, and let's see. Otherwise, we are needing to be witnesses until He comes back. So that's where we're going. We're going to learn some great stuff about love and abiding and trust and being humble enough to learn and follow Jesus also. Last week, we looked at come and see an invitation to encounter Jesus. Do you remember that? That invitation. We couldn't finish off points 2 and 3, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Come and, the second point was, discover that identity that's going to change us. And point number 3 this morning is a witness that cannot be contained. That when you transform from within, oh my goodness, there's something that the Holy Spirit is performing inside of you that cannot be contained. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for this morning. It's just so beautiful waking up and just seeing that thick mist with that gentle rain. And just to be able to sit out and watch it and silence our souls. We're just so grateful for the God that we serve. And right now, God, my prayer is that your word says that each one of us is like a seed. And God, I pray that our seed inside of us is going to grow and mature and become more like you. And I pray, God, that as we're looking at your word, that you're fertilizing that seed and that you're watering it and that you're helping it to grow inside of each one of us. Father, we just pray that you lead this morning. This is not about me. This is about you. And that your word leads this morning. And I do pray, God, that that we can focus, that we can try and put aside the worries of this world that we all have and put those aside in our lives and focus on your word, and that we can each walk away with something, some prompting from you, some scripture from you, and hold on to that so that that can mature and grow us. Father, we love you so, so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first point this morning is come and see a discovery that changes your identity. Come and see something that is going to change you as a person. You are not going to be the same. It's like sort of arriving at high school and you're arriving in grade 8. And like in grade 7, you've got this expectation of going to high school. And you're like, and those that are senior are saying, come and see what it's like. Come into the big school here. Come into this and see and experience and make that who you are. And Christ is saying, you know, the same thing here. And last week we looked at scriptures. John 1 is such a chapter that is so rich. We could actually sit on that for the rest of the year. It's so rich, there's so much there. But we're only looking at the parts that are applicable to what we're preaching on this morning. But John was standing there. John who was standing there? John the Baptist was standing there, and he had followers. And he was saying, whoa, look at this man walking in front of us, the Lamb of God. He's going to take away the sins of this world. This is the Lamb of God. I need to become less, and he needs to become greater. And what a heart. And that's sort of our heart also is, God, help me to become less and help you to become greater. That, God, just reduce me in size and make you larger. Make me think about you as everything in my life, at work, at school, wherever I am, studying, whatever it is, that you are becoming greater. In John 1 verse 40 and 41, the Word of God says, one of the two who heard John speaking and followed Jesus was Andrew. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. Encounter leads to conviction. When you encounter something in your life, it's going to lead to new convictions in your life. No, sir. Like, as you've encountered Jesus, it should lead to new convictions in the way that you live your life. As we're trying to shine at school here too, as you're trying to live for Jesus, you are shining out because Jesus is doing something in your life. And what is interesting here is Andrew is not saying, we think we found the Messiah here. Or I feel that I found him, but come and see whether it is him. Or I hope that I found him. He speaks with such conviction and he says, we have found the Messiah. Now come and see what we found. And that was his conviction. You don't speak with uncertainty after a real encounter. A man who survives a storm out at sea isn't going to argue whether the lifeboat worked or not. He's going to be like, man, I'm speaking with conviction, and praise God I had a lifeboat that I could float around in for a week until someone found me, and I speak with conviction because if I was in the water, I wouldn't have survived. And that lifeboat helped me to survive. And so it is with Jesus, that encounter, that walk with him transforms our lives. How is your encounter this last week with Christ? What convictions is your encounter with Jesus providing inside of your life? And are those convictions radiating out of us? And those convictions are found in God's Word. As you are studying God's Word and reading God's Word and meditating on God's Word and holding to God's Word and being obedient to God's Word, our convictions change. That relationship is formed because of the love of Christ is formed within us, and we're living with these convictions. It's beautiful. It's allowing God to change us. I listen to something this week. You know, we are all good at meditating. We're gifted at it. Do you realize that? You are a great meditator. Every time you worry and you're anxious, you are meditating. And you're meditating about that thing that you're worried about at work, that thing you're worried about in your family, and that thing is making you anxious. So you are ruminating about that thing and you are thinking about that thing. To meditate on God's word is to hold on to God's word and think about God's word day and night. That's what the word of God is saying, and that's replacing all of that. So you're replacing all the worries of this world and you're replacing it with meditating on God's word, and you're allowing that word to do something in you that you cannot do for yourself. And that's the beauty of it. Encounter leads to identity transformation. In John 1 verse 42, Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. And Jesus sees who Simon is. But Jesus also sees who Simon will become. And there's going to be a transformation in Simon's life. And he changes Simon's name. And he sees who he is now, just an ordinary fisherman. But he says, "This is who you're going to become." And he changes his name from Simon, which means one who hears, or shifting sands, to Peter, which means rock. And he gives him something new, a new identity to hold on to live with, an identity of strength, potential, stability, and focusing forwards, even with the challenges in his life. Jesus renames him before he acts like a stable rock, which is pretty interesting. You don't have to become the rock first. He renames him first. Grace, listen up carefully here, always precedes transformation. Think about it. If someone met you and you were getting to know God, and they said, "Let's sit down and study and look at some scriptures," it's by the grace of God that you were there in the first place. And transformation, change took place because the word of God was starting to be opened in your life. And so grace is such a beautiful thing because we are living through God's grace. And it's grace that totally transforms us. And that's why if you do a study in John 1, right in the beginning in John 1, before these scriptures that we are looking at, in John 1, 14, it says, "The word of God became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then in verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Grace, truth. They aren't against each other, they're with each other. A balance. Grace. Our lives are just so full of grace. If you stop and think, wow, my life is, I'm only here because of God's grace. But grace works with truth. And truth works with grace. And they're both so important, and you'll find truth in God's word. And the more you're finding that truth, the truth is going to set you free, it's going to set you free, it's going to set you free. And that's what the word of God says. The more you are in the word and it's transforming you, it will set you free. And that's only through God's grace. And Jesus came to preach grace, and he came to preach truth. Jesus speaks about your ID, not about labels. He's not trying to label you. We label one another. And what I mean by this is, he was given this name, Simon, and he was given a name even though, and this is so uncanny, that he would fail many times. He would make so many mistakes. He would blurt out things that were wrong continuously. He would want to walk on water, but he would sink. He was the guy that said, man, I don't know Jesus, three times. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't want to be put in prison. I don't want to lose my life. This is just too much. And yet he was so close to Christ. He struggled with fear. Jesus preaches grace and he preaches truth. And Jesus named Simon based on future redemption, not on past or future failures. Wow. Now that is the grace of God. You are my child because of future redemption. Not because of your failures, not because of what someone thinks about you at school, not because of that you aren't in the cool group, not because of all of these things and you creating a name for yourself. Or you're sitting in here and you're thinking, man, these people are more successful than me and all of these things. You creating a name for yourself. Jesus changed his name and gave Peter the keys of the kingdom of God that would open the door of truth. Like, wow! Have you ever looked at sculpture? And you've looked at like, man, how did the guy sculpturing this come up with this? This is just incredible. And a sculptor sees the statue inside a block of stone before he starts working. I visualize the stone is this size. I can see what I'm going to carve out here, the shoulders and the head. And the size is perfect, and this is how it's going to be. And I visualize it, and I see it. And Jesus sees the redeemed person inside broken humanity. He sees a redeemed person, you. Come and see. Inside broken humanity. We live in a world that is so broken. It is terribly broken. And that's what Jesus sees. A good coach sees potential and not just performance. Sees potential in someone and I can work with that person. I see potential in them. And I'm going to groom them, I'm going to mentor them, I'm going to train them. And Jesus calls out gold while others see dirt. And that helps us to understand a bit more of grace and truth. And applying this first point here to make this practical, you know, because it's important to read the Word of God, and then the Word of God's going to help transform us, but you have to make it practical for your life. And you have to see where are you at so that the Word of God can change you. And I think some of us need to stop defining ourselves from your past and start to see the way that Jesus sees you. And don't define yourself and compare yourself to anyone else. You are unique. and beautifully made. And God made you. And if you're starting to look at Jesus through that picture, and you're reading scripture through that picture, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And start to name who you are through scripture. And Ephesians 1 is a great place to go. Read it out aloud. Scream it out. This is who I am in Christ. I am redeemed. The blood of Christ. I've got the seal. I've got all of these things. And just read it out. Because that's who he's calling each one of us. That's who we are. And believe who he says you are even before you see it yourself. And that is hard. Because we like to believe who we are once we've created ourselves to be who we are. And we're not looking through that lens at all here. We're looking through a Jesus lens. Believe who you are even before you see it. And that leads me to my second point, which is really an exciting point. Because if we're encountering Jesus like this and he's transforming who we are and we've got a new picture of the way that he sees us, you can't but live this out. Where you come and see a witness that cannot be contained. A witness that cannot be contained. Encounter produces this mission on its own. And in John 1 verse 43, and here's the story. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, come, follow me. And this is like so profound. And he found Philip, come and follow me. And we're just going to pause here. A few months ago, Andrew approached me and he says, have you been watching The Chosen? I said, you know what? I started off and I stopped. And he said, why don't you watch it again? So I said, thanks for the challenge. And I started watching The Chosen and reading God's word with it. And he says that him and his wife sit down and they watch The Chosen. And it's many episodes, guys. This is not just one movie. This is going to take you many, many months. It's week after week. It's like, it really is great. And you're reading the word of God and there's just so much to speak about. Because I think we try to visualize things. And as we're reading God's word, we're reading lines of God's word. And God's word is living and active. But how do you sort of visualize it? And here Jesus is saying, come and follow me, Philip. We can look at a clip here, how Jesus called Matthew. And who was Matthew? A tax collector. And you can see the culture of the day in this. And the pressure that he had. And the Jews didn't like him. His father didn't like him. Because he abandoned his father. By his trade. And let's watch this clip and then if we could.
With talent like yours, she'd be proud.
She's ashamed that I could use a talent that God gave me against God. Next.
You're good at something. You found a way to make a living doing it. It's that simple.
Must be nice to live in a world so simply ordered.
We live in the same world, Matthew.
Next.
Besides, what else are you going to do with a mind like yours?
Matthew. Matthew, son of Alphaeus.
Yes.
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy has done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to... What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're gonna throw it all away.
Yes.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew. What's the tablet for?
I grabbed it without thinking. You can put it back.
No, keep it. You may yet find use for it.
Where are we going?
A dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties.
Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
What stood out for you? Yes, Cindy. There's joy. Yeah. Awesome. Anyone else? Exactly. And that face, like, what? Me? I need to come and follow you. Me? Like, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Jesus called his name and he saw him. Yeah. And who questioned Jesus there? Peter questioned him. Jesus, do you know what you're doing? Calling this guy, a guy that we don't like, you know, Jesus, do we want this guy part of our team? And you could see Matthew was sort of almost shocked. And where's the party going to be? Well, the party's going to be in your big mansion tonight. That's what he said. In your house. We're coming to your house and we're going to party there, you know, and you look at it, and it's so good to sort of look at our lives of following Jesus. Because Jesus is calling us and calling everything, our hearts, our finances, our jobs, our friendships, everything. He says, come and follow me. Make me number one in your life. And for certain of us, it's going to be that we have to leave things. And you have to change things. And you are challenged by God's word. But there is that excitement. And it's like, oh my goodness, I'm getting a chance to give up my life and follow Jesus. What an honor, what a privilege. And we notice from the scripture that encounter leads to mission. Encounter leads to this overflow of the heart. When you've encountered something, you cannot help but speak about it. And then we see Philip inviting Nathanael. And in 1 John 45 to 46, it said, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. And we see straight away that Philip's learned this language of Jesus. That Jesus had said, come and see. And now Philip's like, man, just come and see. Philip is not trying to argue with him here. He's not trying to correct him. He's not trying to even help him. He's not trying to say, man, how could you make such a negative statement there? Can anything good come out of this place? All he's doing is just come and see. Come and see who I have found. Evangelism at its best is a relational invitation, not a religious debate. It's a relational invitation. And that's what God is calling us to do. Guys, I don't know where my life would be if it wasn't for Christ. Honestly. 35 years ago on the 6th of June this year, I was walking down the streets in the UK, and if I was there, I could most probably get the point pretty close. Lisa and I were engaged. Another couple were engaged. They walked past us. His name was Simon. And they walked past us, and then they turned around and they said, "Excuse me." And they invited us to church. And I did not realize the encounter, and it was an encounter. I arrived at this church and people looked so ordinary, but so authentic. They hugged each other. They were so excited. And I just loved someone inviting me, "Would you like to study God's word?" And man, I was so proud. I said, "Yeah, let's study God's word. I'll show you a thing or two." Not that I knew God's word at all. And when they opened up God's word just started, that encounter started to transform me. And it was the same with you, I'm sure. And that's the excitement, and that's the relationship that God wants us to have. When we're excited about something, we're speaking about it. And here's the challenge is, let's talk more about Jesus in our lives. And less about what you've achieved. Less about where you want to go with your life. Less about you. And more about Jesus. And let's talk about Jesus in our lives, because that is everything that transforms us. This is a very special group. And God is with us. God is here. God is in our midst. And we want to build a church for our children and for our grandchildren. And grandchildren, I say now, because it's become important to me too. Because I want to see Hayes grow up in that. And it's so exciting to see that. And today after church is so exciting because Vongai has made Jesus Lord of her life. And he's going to get baptized. And Kath said to her, "Come and see. Come and look. Come and see what I've got. Let me share it with you. Let me help the word of God transform you." Do you know, and from scripture, Jesus meets skeptics personally. So those that are skeptics here, Jesus meets them personally. Nathaniel was skeptical, but he spoke his heart, which is a good thing. And Jesus responds to Nathaniel in the supernatural insight. And this is what the Word of God says. And in John 1 verse 48, it says, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Philip invited you, but I saw you under the fig tree. And that gives me like this shivers. Shivers of like, wow, this is the God that we serve. Jesus reveals that he already knows Nathanael. An encounter that knows you before the encounter. Cross that. An encounter that knows you before the encounter. That's the depth of what we're speaking about in God's word here. I saw you under the fig tree before you were even invited. And I saw your needs. I knew what you were thinking about. I knew the struggles that you were going through. And in the chosen, it's revealed, he was ready to give up his life. His life was so stressful. And Philip was his friend. And said, man, come and see. This is the answer. This is the answer here. And that's the God that we serve in Psalm 139. And I love these verses. From verse 1, it says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. And that's a God that you and I are serving. And we have to hold to that. And that links so perfectly into the passage that we've just looked at. I knew what you were thinking about, and you needed a relationship with me. Hebrews 4 verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God knows everything. And that's quite scary. You are fully known today by God and fully loved. You're known and you're loved. And sure, there are things in your life that you're embarrassed about. Sure, there are thoughts in your life that you're like, oh my goodness, that's not good. Sure, there are actions in your life where, man, if anyone else knew, it would be embarrassing. But God sees it all. And God still loves you. And God wants you to change. Even in the prodigal son, the son walks away, but he walked away with love. And when he arrived back, he was welcomed with love. God fully knows us and fully loves us. And that should bring a lot of security, because the world just breaks us down. We cannot be loved the way that we are. I can't have friends the way that I am. Things just break me down. And in John 1, verse 49, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. Nathaniel's eyes were open. Skepticism collapses in the presence of truth. You can be a skeptic about things, but it suddenly all collapses. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. How did you know that I was sitting under that fig tree? This can only be the Son of God. And all those thoughts just can be collapsed and eradicated with the presence of God's truth in our lives. And it's interesting how God still used Philip to witness, to invite, and to evangelize. And we are all instruments and his vessel. And yet God could have changed him himself, but God uses man to open up their mouths, to be friendly, to show the love of God, that our lives are trying to be lives with the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what's attractive, and that's what church is about. It's an ecclesia, it's the living God in here, and we go out into the world living for Jesus. That's why we're here, because God is totally transforming us. Be that person of love at work, in the gym, at home, with friends. And trust Jesus to reveal himself to you and to change you. And in closing, there were four voices in John 1 that spoke out about come and see. And firstly, John said, behold. And he said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold, this is so important. He's going to wash away the sins of the world. Jesus himself said, come and see. Andrew said, we have found. Philip repeats, come and see. Christianity grows person to person, story to story, invitation to invitation. And that's what it's about, allowing Jesus to grow that in each of us. Jesus is still saying today, come with your doubts. Come with your wounds. Come with your questions, but come and see. And that's what I wanted to leave you with this morning. Our church is broken up into small groups. And I do pray that this last small group, you had a good chat about what was preached on Sunday, and that you're tying things in, that our small groups is sort of what's built on what's being preached on a Sunday, and we're having good, deep chats about this and revealing our hearts in scriptures also, because that's what it's about. So this week, those that are preparing, you've got part one and you've got part two to prepare. And so I suggest that you start tonight in your quiet time and you get excited about what you're going to present on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, you know, but you're praying about it, you're putting it before God, and those are the two parts of the sermon this morning. And we, it's so great because there are questions there, there are personal questions. It's going to make you think, it's going to help mature you, and it's going to help you to grow. Our church is split up into seven small groups, and these are our small groups. You've got the eagles. Where are the eagles? The eagles are all the young folk. There we go. And they meet at 4 p.m. because their work finishes at 3 p.m. on a Wednesday. And so they meet at 4 p.m. every Wednesday online. We've got the Montclair group down the south. Where's Mbeki? There's his beautiful wife. There we go. So that's on a Wednesday night. We've got the Hillcrest group. And they meet on a Thursday and a Friday because they're very spiritual. So they meet two nights. No joking. One night is on, 1 week's on Zoom, and a Friday night is in person. And then we've got the single ladies, Victoria, that's online Wednesday night at 8 p.m. The Mayville group is Thursday at 5:30 p.m. We've got the young marrieds on a Thursday at actually 6:30 p.m. And the Westville group, amen, on Wednesday at 7 p.m. So those are our groups here. And all we're trying to do is love Jesus more. And love each other more. And grow and mature and become more and more like Christ. The final challenge are these things. Just come and see. Are you living from a changed ID inside of you? That you're living from that. A changed person because of Christ. And who is Jesus inviting you to say, come and see this week? That you can invite into your workplace, you can have lunch with them, invite into your home, invite into your small group, and invite to church. Come and see. And that's the challenge, and that's the invite for the week.